Mic working? Yeah, we're doing good. We jam that thing we usually wear around our ear up my shirt, so if I get to fidgeting, y'all know what's going on. Hopefully it doesn't have a backlash and fry me up here, but anyway. What are we singing after the lesson, Tom? Okay, that one. All right, good. Happy Father's Day. Has everybody had a good morning? Some of you dads, did y'all have a special breakfast this morning that little hands or big hands cook for you? And got some sweet cards. Got a few texts. You know, that's sort of the way it... Did anybody get texts? Good. Okay. And lots of greetings. Well, it's a special day. This is one of those family days. And special day for me. Feel very privileged to have that Jane and I have been allowed to raise our children in this family, and for many of you to serve as fathers and mothers for our children, as well as us for our children. And what a blessing! Thankful to be able to speak on Father's Day. This is a lesson that's sort of been in my heart for a long time. Wanted to share, and I'm very thankful that it's worked out this way, that we can talk about Father's Day today. Mother's Day is a wonderful day, and we celebrate that well. Often I think fatherhood is a little bit overlooked. From what I understand, the money spent, the cards bought, the messages sent on Mother's Day are about five times what is sent on Father's Day. And always an interesting thing to think about. But hopefully we can contemplate this just a little bit this morning. It's very appropriate for us to do so. Now, I put up here my dad. My wife reminds me about saying things like this, since Tommy's here, our dad. And this is a very inappropriate picture of my father. I don't ever remember him sitting too much. He was usually on the go, and ran everywhere he went. But anyway, wanted to remember my dad this morning. He's been gone 5 years, and that's a little hard for me to believe, you know, that much time has passed. And I will say this. There was a period of time where, now my dad was a wonderful man, and if you knew him, you know that, but I had some issues with him about the kind of father he was. You know, I know none of y'all have those issues, but, you know, he just wasn't a real expressive man. It really bothered me for years that he never really told me he loved me. Now, later in our adult lives, Tommy grabbed him one Sunday and forced him to tell him that he loved me. And Tommy was bolder than I was. But there were a lot of things, you know, I'd like to change about him, a lot of things that I wished he had been able to experience in his life for his benefit as well. But, you know, with him gone 5 years, I had a pretty wonderful father. And thankful for that. And, you know, fatherhood is this thing that it isn't warm and fuzzy usually. It's kind of this thing we take for granted that, and also we tend to look at dad's flaws more than we look at the good things. So it's more, and I hope we can contemplate those things a little bit and think about what a bedrock a father's love is to our homes, to our churches, to our country. And think about that. It's appropriate that we do this. You know, this was in the Ten Commandments. You know, it was in the Big Ten up front. You know, honor your father and your mother. It's appropriate that we do this. And when it's repeated in the New Testament, in Ephesians 6, we're told that, you know, this was the first command that God gave that had a promise associated with it. That if you honor your parents, if you give honor to them, it's like giving honor to God. Because when you do that, God's going to say, I'm going to bless your life. I think the way it says is you're going to live long on the earth and enjoy that life. It's going to bless you. And I think that's almost a proverb. You know, it's just one of those truisms. I don't think it's a promise that when you honor your parents, you'll always live a long life. But it says God's blessings and his hand's going to be on you. So it's appropriate that we honor our parents. I can say this, though. I've been listening to Mother's Day and Father's Day lessons now, you know, all my stinking life, I guess, as much as I can remember, maybe 50-something years, I've been hearing those lessons. And I can probably characterize 99% of those lessons like this. Mother's Day goes like this. Aren't mothers wonderful? What a blessing mother's love is. It is constant. It is true. It is unfathomable. We are so blessed by our mothers. They are so wonderful. Thank you, mothers, for who you are and what you do. And that's very appropriate. That's very appropriate. 99% of Father's Day lessons that I have heard through the years go something like this. Fatherhood and the work of a father is so necessary. And you fathers out there, get your butts in gear and be the kind of fathers you ought to be. Sorry for the French. And I don't know if the reason those lessons are delivered like that is because in my experience, all the people delivering them were men, and they're working out their own guilt or whatever's going on. But I never felt real honored by any of those Father's Day lessons. And you know, that's kind of complicated by the fact that we kind of look at motherhood like this. Now, I was going to put Donna Reed up here, and then I realized there was nobody here hardly alive that remembered Donna Reed. Maybe a few of us, right? You know, she was like mom, and Beaver's mom, you know, June Cleaver, you know, always dressed in the party dress, flowing around, you know, serving food, and wonderful, excellent, perfect mother. Jordan, I love your hair, by the way. I love you. Cut her hair off. It's beautiful. But you know, Annie Camden, if any of y'all watch Seventh Heaven, you know, she's the wife of a preacher. They've got seven kids, and she's just the essence of calm and does everything wonderful. This is sort of our image of the godly mother, you know. And then, but that's complicated by the fact that this is our image of the American dad. You know, good old bumbling dad, you know. Go to work, come home, what a goofball. And you know, that's kind of complicated in movies and things, and we tend to do this. But you know, dads really are who give our families their personality. They're who set the tone. Our family is much different than the way dad is. And quite frankly, we all know that as dads, we're very imperfect, terribly flawed. Many of us have had really bad dads or absent dads. That does happen, but that's the same with mothers. It doesn't diminish the value of who a father is and what it brings to the home in all our ineptness. And it is an honor to be a father. God talks about it in Malachi. He desires to be honored as a father. He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where's the respect? God says you need to respect your father. You need to honor him because it honors me. And so it's appropriate that we do that today. As I think about this, there's another guy that comes to my mind. This is another of my fathers. We miss this guy a lot. His grace, his quick temper, his quick repentance, his sweet heart, his extended arms to so many of us, such a blessing. And we'll miss Basil. And we honor him today, too. And many other fathers here today. I don't know if I've ever been a part of a body that has any more great fathers, godly fathers, than this body does. You've seen a bunch of them up this morning around and serving and speaking, and we are so blessed by that. So this morning we honor and think about our fathers. Godly fathers make all the difference. And, you know, I'm so thankful for men that take that responsibility, not just for their own children. Guys that coach Little League for 20 years. Pete, you did that sort of thing. Steve Stout, other people I know. Don't have any kids there. Keep coaching. Loving those kids. Praying with them. Encouraging them. Folks that do all kinds of things for children that they don't have to. That's dads. Granddads, let me tell you, that's the best of fatherhood right there. That granddad thing. Micah came in last night, hadn't seen him for a week. He wanted to hug on me. Wow, that's good stuff. Good stuff. It's amazing how your heart goes out. Teachers, coaches, older friends, fatherhood, it's the glue. It's the glue. And it's generally pretty much unarticulated. It's not expressed a lot. It's kind of taken for granted. It's kind of assumed and expected. So this morning, I would like to think about things that godly fathers do, things for which I'm thankful today, things that I want to honor fathers for. Now, when I first started writing down things that godly fathers do, I wrote down about 20 things. And I thought, well, I don't want this to be like Lanny's lesson and go all day. Sorry, Lanny. Sometimes there's a lot to say, right, brother? And you said it well. Appreciate you. But I put down 6 things that I want us to think about and praise God for this morning about our fathers. As we sit here, we think of our dads, we think of our sons who are fathers, and we think of our own roles. Now, the things that godly fathers do, it's an interesting thing in the Truth Project. Tom's been using that some lately. It talks about the fact that God put his imprint on every human institution. If you think about it, and that imprint is not just a design, but it's a reflection of who he is, who the Godhead is. It's on the home, it's on the community, it's on the church. It's a reflection of who he is and what he cares about and the nature that he has. And he puts that imprint in the home in moms and dads. So what fathers do in a home is a reflection of what God does, a reflection of how he relates to us. And so these things show up because of that. First thing I wanted to put up is godly fathers love their children. Now, I know that sounds like a duh, you think. But you know, I don't think we talk about that too much. And one reason, I think, is it's, like I said, it's not warm and fuzzy like mother's love. It's not nurturing and overt often. It's more often expressed in actions than in words. And if your dad's like my dad, he didn't know how to say it. Came to realize my dad never had a dad, really. Died when he was 5 years old. Had an unexpressive mother. Never learned how to say some of those things overtly. So it comes a funny way. And I think there's an interesting thing about father's love. Virtually every little girl I know at some point dreams about being a mother. They grow up playing with dolls and imagining when they're going to be a mom and have a home. And they think about that. And that's just a part of their psyche. It's the way God made them. But I don't know too many little boys that say, I just can't wait till I have children. I mean, I've never seen it. Maybe it happens. They're thinking about stuff like, I'm going to be, in my day, I'm going to be Roy Rogers. Maybe nowadays, I'm going to be an Atlanta Brave and play baseball, or I'm going to be an astronaut and go to the moon, or I'm going to be president. Who knows? They got other things on their mind. And so I think being a father comes as a total surprise. I know for me, when Sarah was going to be born, you know, it was like we wanted to have children. That's what we wanted to do, you know. And you know, you say, yeah, we're going to have kids. You know, we want to have kids. And it'll be great, all this. And then they lay that baby in your arms. And something happens. You go, whoa, I wasn't ready for this. I know my overwhelming sense when I first reached out and touched Sarah was, I know why I was born. I'm here to take care of this child. Nobody's hurting this child. I know my job. I never expected that. It was overwhelming. I remember in the movie Parenthood, many of you may have enjoyed that movie with Steve Martin, where he's, you know, the perfect dad, and his dad is horrible dad. He's gruff and rough and never around. And at one point, he reveals to Steve Martin, he says, son, something I never told you. He says, why I'm such a horrible dad, you know. And he said, well, Dad, you're not a horrible dad. He said, yeah, I'm not a good dad like you are. But he said, when you were little, when you were just a baby, you were our only child, you almost died. And you lived. You made it. But I never forgave you for that. He said, forgave me for what, Dad? He said, for making me hurt that bad. For making me that vulnerable. Father's love sneaks up on you. Our children make us vulnerable. And it's overwhelming, but it's often not expressed. Fathers love their children. It's deep, it's bold, it's wide, and it's unconditional. I think about a Bob Carlyle song. I thought about playing it this morning. I think I've got some of the words up there. A father's love. He kind of talks about his little boy asking him questions and him trying to answer them and wanting to be everything, wanting to be able to answer the questions, knowing he doesn't even know the simplest answers to, like, what am I going to be, Daddy? What's going to happen? Why is the sea so wide, Daddy? But I love this chorus and this piece here. There is no power on earth like a father's love, so big and so strong as your father's love, a promise that's sacred, a promise from heaven above. No matter where you go, always know you can depend on your father's love. And even when my life on earth is through, there still will be a part of me in you. Cause some things are forever. Nothing's ever going to take my love from you. That line of there's going to be a part of me in you, that always moves me. Things godly fathers do. They love their children. They provide for their children. And that was a strong thing that came up for me, this impulse to protect. You know, it's like, you know, I think you're completely selfish most of your life. You know, guys are. I think even when you get married, you can stay selfish and love your wife. But when you have your kids, it just does something to you. You can't be selfish and be a parent. Because suddenly, you'd die for them in a heartbeat, you know? Where does that come from? It's this amazing thing. And again, often unexpressed to children. You often don't get it until you have your own. And then you realize the way your father felt. I was thinking about World War II parents. A lot of the folks that came through World War II, that's my parents, and I guess that was you guys' parents too, and others. A common phrase, I read Tom Brokaw's book, Greatest Generation, talking about those folks. He said, the number one impulse within them is to make the world better for their children. Because they grew up in the Depression. And right out of high school, they got thrust into World War II. They wanted a safe world for their children. That desire to protect, provide for their children, overwhelming. Also think about the way guys work. Long and hard. Take second jobs. Work second shift. Do extra things to provide for their family. Never think anything about it. Do those extras. I think of Jane's dad, who for years worked shift work. Every 2 weeks, he'd change shifts. Go from first shift, then 2 weeks, then next 2 weeks, second shift, next 2 weeks, third shift. Did that for 30 years. At a job that he really didn't like to provide for his family. And then he went on weekends and on the days that he was off and he was working nights, he'd paint houses. Painted, as one of her uncles said, painted every house in Alum Creek, West Virginia. And never complained. He was providing for his family. Made him proud. Made him feel good. That drive to provide. And that thing of, you know, every father knows this. The thing we really want to do is give our children a gift that just makes them thrilled to death. You know, it's something all of us want to do, to be able to give your son that thing. It's a powerful thing to provide for your family. And godly fathers do that. Well, another thing godly fathers do is they sacrifice for their children. And I got to thinking about this. I thought, you know, again, going back to what little boys dream of. You dream of accomplishing things, doing certain things, taking certain trips, having certain cars, things like that. And this just sort of goes along that line that fatherhood's what takes a guy who dreamed of having a 57 red Corvette, and instead he buys a minivan with kid seats in it. It's not his dream. But oh, how quickly our dreams vanish and something else becomes more important when we become fathers. It isn't so important to get that stuff I thought was so great. I'd rather take care of my kids. I think about that that country song that goes, "There goes my world." You know, the guy, he and his girlfriend wind up going to have a baby. And they get married. And his lament is, "There goes my world. There goes all my plans. There goes my everything." And down the road, he says, "Now, you know, 12 years later, my refrigerator's covered with pictures of my mistake. And there goes my world. There goes my everything." And when she goes off to college, out into the world, "There goes my world." There goes my world. Takes the place. We gladly sacrifice for our children. A couple of guys I thought of that kind of bring this home. Team Hoyt, Rick Hoyt. I mean, Rick Hoyt's the son. Dick Hoyt, the son. His son born with cerebral palsy, damaged at birth, severely, can't walk, really can talk very little, communicates other ways. His dad, never an athlete, never really all that active, but Rick heard about some kids that were underprivileged and felt like they ought to raise some money for them, so he convinced his dad to run in a race to raise money for underprivileged children. So his dad did that and rigged up a cycle of some to pull Rick along. And the first race, Rick told his dad, "Dad, when we're running, it's like I'm not handicapped." That's about all Dick Hoyt had to hear. They became Team Hoyt. They've run in over 1,000 races, over 30 marathons, several triathlons, and 6 Ironmen. We've got somebody here that knows what an Ironman is. This 50-something-year-old father and his son. And you know what he says? "Rick's my hero." That's a father's sacrifice. Patrick Hughes, this guy works for UPS. I don't know if you've heard about him. Works for UPS. His son was born blind. His arms can only do about like this. His legs don't work. He's in a wheelchair. But he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Brilliant as a musician. And when his son wanted to be a part of pep band and stage band, the band director told him, sorry, the rule is you can't be in those if you're not in marching band. Because, you know, as most of you know, it's great to be in stage band, but marching band, that's work. A lot of work. This guy says, no problem, we'll be in marching band. He changes his schedule at UPS. He works at night, spends his days practice, working with Patrick Jr. And now he's at the University of Louisville. He's in college, and he's still in the marching band. And there's Dad out there, all the games. Just watch the University of Louisville at halftime sometime and see Patrick Hughes. And he says, what a privilege it is to be able to push my son. Sacrifice, it's a great part of what godly fathers do. And I think of something else here too. My heart has really been out there for dads that don't get to see their kids that much. Divorced dads. For whatever reasons, they're separated from their children and they don't get to be there too much. And it's discouraging. It's discouraging. It takes real effort to keep up, to send the emails, to send the cards, to fly in or travel or be there on birthdays and to be around. But I remember what one godly divorced father told me one time. He said, you know, my kids don't want to see me right now. It's tough times right now. The one thing I can do is let them know my love is constant and I'm here. And God will help me catch up with them on the backside. And catching up with our kids on the backside is so much better. And it's what fathers live for and they sacrifice for it. And I'm thankful for that too. Another thing godly fathers do is they teach their children. And maybe another way to say this is they lead their children. Because we really, quite frankly, I don't think my kids heard too much of my teaching. That didn't go over so well. But they're watching. They're watching. They watch my footsteps. They watch their dad's footsteps. They see where things go. And they do follow. They see dad's kindness. They see patience. They see faithfulness. Dad goes to work every day. Dad comes home every day. They see him praying for their children. They see him praying over them. What a privilege to pray over your children, pray with them. They see him supporting you everywhere you show up, you know. Wherever your kids do, there's Dad showing up at the ballpark or wherever. Yeah, that really was powerful for me. Again, my dad was not real expressive about a lot of things, but I saw the way he served people. I say the way he got up from the supper table and went back to the store 3 and 4 times a night for people, for all kinds of things. Had a lady tell me at Dad's funeral that he went back for me for baby milk one night. I'd forgotten to buy ahead. And Dad had her a case of milk and then had her 2 cans wrapped up with a bow on it. And she said, well, let me pay you for those too. He said, no, this is a present from me. Take this home, put it in the cabinet, and you'll always have 2 cans. Always replace them back, put the bow on them. She said, I never ran out of baby milk again. Probably one of the most powerful things was when my mom and dad decided to take in a young lady that was a year older than me. And kept her as a foster child and made her our sister and sent her to college, made her learn how to drive. She didn't want to drive, made her learn how to drive, gave her tools to live. Did that without ever saying a word about it. I was a little ticked at the time, actually, kind of cramped my parade. I was no longer the oldest. But wow, what sacrifice, what love, what things those taught, things that we do. Every day, watching my dad read his Bible. Well, another thing godly fathers do is they discipline their children. Yeah, that's the part we remember. We all you stand around and talk about how hard our dads hit, you know. And I'm not talking about punishment here. I'm talking about guidance. You know, godly fathers guide their children. They give them walls. They give them security. They give them rules. Now, I didn't much like my father's rules. I'll just put that out there for you. You talk about cramping your style. I told somebody one time, I felt like George Gobel said one time, I always thought the world was a tuxedo and I was a pair of tennis shoes. You know, just didn't hardly fit. But, because, you know, everybody else got to have fun, and I had the church crossroads. You know how that goes. And sudden. So it was a lot of no's and don'ts. But it doesn't really matter so much what the rules are. What matters is my father cared enough to do them and to make me accountable and for there to be consequences. So I learned to be a disciplined person. I learned to be self-disciplined. And it came up for me this week as I was thinking about that. The most powerful thing in obeying my father was not that I'd get caught, something would happen. It was that I would disappoint him. That's a father who disciplines. That's a father who leads. And that was powerful. The final thing I want to talk about that godly fathers do is they bless their children. And it sort of comes from that thing, you know, in the Old Testament, the patriarchs would bring their children around when they were about to die and they would lay their hands on them, they would bless them, they would convey this blessing. But there was a book written a few years ago called The Blessing, and it talks about this concept of what great value that had of laying your hands on your children and telling them, you are valuable, you are special, I am proud of you. You know, go in God's grace. You know, that's something potent. And godly fathers do that in a variety of ways, not always in words, not always in words. As I said, this was one of my big things with my dad, is, I jokingly said, you know, he didn't touch me that I remember maybe five times in my life. You know, maybe shook my hand, I think, when I graduated from college. But yet in the last couple of years of his life, I touched him and held him and hugged him every day because I bathed him and dressed him. And all of us did. It wasn't just me. But and so my dad gave me my first real compliment. In that time, he was talking to somebody and he said, yeah, Ray gives me a bath every day. He says, he washed me in places I didn't know I had. He said, he gives the best bath I know. So I got that going for me, you know. And I knew my dad was proud of me. And I'm thankful I got to feel that and know that. And if not, our Heavenly Father tells us that for our fathers. But I see godly fathers doing that all the time, telling their children how special they are, how proud they are of them. What a wonderful gift to be able to do that. And thank you for conveying that value to your children. It's a wonderful thing. Well, our Father in heaven does all these six things too. His love is unconditional and perfect. He'll provide for our every need. His sacrifice provides healing for every hurt, no matter what it's been. The healing's there. He doesn't waste a hurt, does he, Tom? He wants to teach us his ways. He'll discipline us. We're told if we're children, he's our Father. He will discipline us to help us grow. And he blesses us with every spiritual blessing. When we honor our fathers, as we do today, we honor our Heavenly Father. He's the perfect Father. He longs to give us good gifts, and his arms are open wide to us. I hope this morning that you as fathers feel honored and feel good about what God's doing through you in your children's lives and has done. But I also hope that we gain appreciation for our Father and what He's done for us through that. His arms are like the prodigal father, outstretched, looking, longing, welcoming you home. If you haven't come to that Father through Jesus Christ, this would be a good time. Good way to honor your Father, your heavenly Father and your earthly Father. If you've wandered away, it's a good time to come home. His arms are just all the time. He loves you. Happy Father's Day to you. Come to the Father while we stand and sing.